KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear sky. It's 15 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy today. We have a high around 28 and winds northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. And taking a look, once again, recapping those school announcements that are weather-related. No classes today for the Bedford, Orient Maxburg, Red Oak, Southwest Valley and Stanton Community School Districts, also Southwestern Community College, which had earlier planned for a late start. They have canceled classes for today as well. And there is a two-hour late start for the Clarinda Community School District. You can find all those announcements under our homepage at KJAN.com. Click on the Community Hub on the right side of the page and then look for the Cancellations tab. In the news, the annual financial review of IPERS, the Iowa Public Employees Retirement System, was completed last week. IPERS CEO Donna Mueller says the report shows the pension system had $32.3 billion in assets on June 30th.
That's after paying $2.1 billion in benefits for the past fiscal year. Of that amount, $1.8 billion was paid to Iowans. We currently have, I believe it's over 110,000 retirees.
In total, about 360,000 public employees who are retired or are still working are IPERS members.
Misnomer, everyone thinks that it's only state employees. No, state employees only makes up 14% of the membership. Education continues to be over 50%.
The other public employees invested in IPERS are city and county employees. IPERS was established in 1953 to provide pension payments to public employees in Iowa. Investments account for about 70% of the benefits paid out, according to Mueller. Actuaries calculate the net investment return in the past fiscal year was nearly 8%. State Treasurer Mike Fitzgerald says 273 Iowans who are intellectually or physically disabled have accounts in a relatively new state-run tax-free savings program. Fitzgerald says a disabled person or a relative may contribute to an IABLE account.
This is a way where family, for an individual that's disabled, can save or have money put away for them up to $100,000, but they can use it for as the name implies, achieving a better life experience.
The money may be used for a variety of things like a specially equipped vehicle or for job training.
And they could put up to $14,000 in each year to the account. And of course, they can start using it for training experiences as they go along, or they can save it, but they can't go over $100,000.
Many plan for the money to help a disabled adult son or daughter find somewhere to live after their parents pass away. Fitzgerald says nearly $1.4 million has been invested in the program since it was established in early 2017, and a quarter of a million has been withdrawn. A disabled American usually loses their Social Security disability and Medicaid benefits if they have more than $2,000 in savings. But the IABLE program meets federal guidelines, so that doesn't happen. Iowa is among more than a dozen states with this kind of a savings program. Fitzgerald says IABLE gives those concerned about the well-being of a loved one the opportunity to save for future disability-related expenses. It's a smart policy for Iowans to keep their smartphones locked with a password or a fingerprint, according to consumer protection advocate Michelle Reinen. She says having an unlocked phone is one step from having your identity stolen. Even if unlocking the phone takes a few extra seconds, Reinen said it's worthwhile to secure it.
While it can be an inconvenience, it's really hard to argue that inconvenience against the valuable data that those devices hold.
Smartphones for many of us provide access to a large portion of our lives, from banking information to our personal communications and social interactions.
You want to make sure that people can't get in to the device and get all your contacts and email messages, and if you have a password app, those types of things that can sit on those devices.
If you have a work-issued business phone, safeguarding it can be crucial to keeping company data secure.
That's certainly a larger consideration beyond the identity theft and the cyber scams that are out there, and worth consideration as well.
If your phone has the fingerprint technology for locking, use it. If you prefer a passcode, be sure to use a number that's not easily guessed, like a birth date, and never use four zeros. Elsewhere in the news, key state lawmakers, including Iowa's Republican governor, do not expect to push the 2019 Iowa legislature to pass a ban on all abortions in the state.
I don't have any intention of doing that until we see what happens with the courts.
In May, Governor Kim Reynolds signed a law to ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat may be detected. That happens around the sixth week of a pregnancy. Reynolds says it's best to wait until the court challenge of that law is decided before considering another abortion-related measure.
Let's just see how this all plays out, for heaven's sakes. You know, take a breath, you know, and see what happens with that, and then what the next steps are.
Republican Senator Jason Schultz of Schleswig has previously sponsored what's referred to as a personhood bill that would ban all abortions in Iowa. Schultz says Iowa's new fetal heartbeat law is the toughest abortion law in the country.
As that law works its way through the judicial system, I think it would be probably counterproductive on my part to file any other bill. I'm going to hold off.
Last week, a federal judge permanently blocked a Mississippi law that would have banned abortions after the 15th week of pregnancy. Iowa's ban on abortions after the sixth week of pregnancy is being challenged in state rather than federal court. It's unclear when a decision from the Iowa Supreme Court may be issued on Iowa's new abortion restriction, which has not gone into effect because of the court challenge. It was more than a year before the state's Supreme Court ruled a 2017 law requiring a three-day waiting period before an abortion was unconstitutional. The Environmental Protection Commission has entered into a contract for a research project to examine if a wider view should be used to determine how things are thrown away. The DNR's Tom Anderson says the law created in 1987 determined the success of what was recycled based on the weight of what went into landfills.
Weight is not necessarily the best measure of environmental impacts. And it's kind of what sustainable material management is looking at. It's looking at the environmental impacts from, raw material extraction through the production, through the distribution, use, and then ultimately disposal.
Anderson says the program created 30 years ago was appropriate for the time.
It was easy because all you needed was the weight. Well, eventually all the landfills had scales, so weight was an easy, easy number to grasp, and then an easy number to use that, say, well, we landfilled, less than we did previous year, our programs must be working. It very well could be true. But environmentally, we still don't know if what these, if the actions that we're following here are actually better for the environment, or should we be doing these alternative actions.
He says looking beyond how much space something takes in a landfill could show that landfilling isn't the best way to handle it.
If you look at it more holistically and look at it, upstream, so to speak, back to that raw material extraction, there may be more impacts to the environment by recycling that than by disposing it.
Anderson says one example has been studied is coffee containers, which can be metal cans, plastic cans, or pouches. The costs for each container from when it was made to when it's thrown away were analyzed.
We're putting energy or water or whatnot, or there are air emissions or whatnot in the manufacture of that can or that plastic container and the pouch. Well, then you get to the distribution size. Well, the can and the plastic is heavier than the pouch is. It's bigger, so in theory you can't get as many units, onto a truck. The environmental impacts of that transportation is higher for both the plastic container and the metal than it is for the pouch. And then when you get to the, to the disposal stage, you look at all these environmental inputs.
And he says all the factors showed them something.
You'd come to find that overall, from start to finish, the environmental impacts is greater, for the metal can than it is if you were to dispose of that pouch.
Anderson said the research project will establish a vision for Iowa waste management that considers environmental impacts and creates a detailed plan to engage everyone in carrying out that vision. The effort will begin December 1st, and Anderson said they hope to have it completed by September. Elsewhere in state news, officials in Dubuque are beginning the process of building a new water tower to improve water pressure that has worsened due to residential growth. Officials have started an environmental review for a proposed 1.2 million gallon tower to replace a tower at Eagle Point Park. It will be higher and bigger than the current half million gallon Eagle Point Park tower. The city is seeking state funding to help pay for the project. A city council member says residents of the area have been frustrated by poor water pressure and says even a few new homes in that area make the pressure even worse. Officials hope the project will be completed in 2020. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.